everyone. My name's Bianca. I'm an alcoholic. Hey, Bianca. I love how you get asked right before the meeting so you don't have a chance to say no. My sobriety date is April 5th, 2011. This is my home group, and I have a sponsor. It's a lot different when you're chairing the meeting and you have something to read off of. What it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. Okay, so, when I was a kid, the home life was interesting. My parents divorced when I was two, and it was pretty volatile. So, I kind of had a lot of things that I was exposed to that gave me the sense of entitlement to act out. So I started that from a really early age. And my mom remarried when I was five, from Chicago. And so when my parents remarried, when I was in fourth grade, they decided to move us to Florida to get my two older sisters and I away from the environment in Chicago. And so they completely uprooted us from everything that I had known at that young age, and to me that was huge. So I was really out of place, and that didn't help what was going on inside of me, because I hear a lot of people talk about how they felt really different, like really early, and that was definitely me. So then you add into that being away from all the people that I thought were like my really close friends, and we came to Florida, and I went to a private school, and I really didn't feel like I lived up to the expectations of all my friends. So I had a really good imagination, and so I, did the best that I could to fit in with those kids. And I was really active in a lot of things as a kid. I was a cheerleader, and I, my mom tried to keep me in a lot of activities to basically keep me and my sisters out of trouble. So, so I did that. I hated school. I was way too, that was beyond, that was beneath me. So I was way too smart for school. I got to high school and I still went to a Catholic school, and I hated it. I hated everyone around me, and I didn't fit in. I didn't want to fit in. I wanted nothing to do with, cheerleader or anything like that, because I hated those girls. I didn't want to be a part of it. So I decided after my sophomore year that I was going to outsmart my mom. So I decided that, and at this point I really hadn't done much of anything because I was completely sheltered. So I decided most of my friends were going to public school at this point, that I told her if she didn't let me go to public school that I was going to just waste her money and flunk all my classes on purpose. And she kind of gave up on me, and she let me go to public school. Well, that was where I met my best friend, alcohol. So I started my junior year, and I had tried out for cheerleading, and I made the team, and that made my mom really happy. And then I met this new group of friends, and they went out and they did really cool things, and they were actually like having fun, and I thought that was so cool. So I started to learn what fun was, and I can't really tell you when my first drunk was, actually. I just know that it started to happen. Actually, I have to backtrack a little bit. My sisters were in college, and I used to go visit them, and this is kind of how the upheaval happened at the private school, because I used to go visit them, and they would take me to frat parties. So, but I couldn't tell anybody how old I really was. And so I would be at these parties, and, here I was, like, 15. And they, I could be around them, and I was safe because I was with my sisters. So kind of that led up to the whole deal of, public school thing. Okay, so fast forward. So I'm, hanging out with my new friends, and I can't tell you when really my first drunk was, but I just know that it was awesome. And these people were great, and we were having a really good time. And, there are other substances in my story, but I'm going to stick with the alcohol part of it. So it was great, and my grades sucked. But that really wasn't abnormal for me. So it really didn't throw any red flags for my mom because my grades were always terrible. She just thought that I was being my defiant self. But things did get worse otherwise. I started, you know, running away from home and, you know, doing just really crazy things. But I never really got into, like, trouble. So when it came time to graduate high school, I really hadn't done much, and I managed to graduate with, I think, the lowest GPA that you can probably get by with and still walk. But I was a pretty good singer, and my class nominated me to sing the class song, and I actually wasn't supposed to walk, and I think I might have, like, told my teacher that my mother would kill me if I didn't graduate, and so she somehow passed me in night school. And because I got voted to sing the class song, I got to sit up on the stage with the salutatorian and the valedictorian. So here was, like, the stupidest kid with the smartest kids. So I kind of chuckled at that. But somehow I managed to get into USF because of some letters that my family had wrote and some other people who had kind of went to bat for me. And the only reason that I did that is because my two choices were either do that or stay at home and go to community college. And I knew I wanted to get the heck out of my house, because if I stayed at home, then I really couldn't do what I wanted to do. So I got into USF, which was crazy. And I shared a house with my sisters. And USF decided that not going to class was not acceptable. And so I got academic dismissal very quickly. And it just really continued for me there. But at that point in my life, I kind of figured that this was really normal. I was college age, and everybody my age does this, right? And that continued for several years, and I never really outgrew it. And then my stepfather got very sick, and he passed away of leukemia. And both my sisters had done pretty good things in their life, and so I decided, okay, it's time to buck up. I'm going to do something with my life. So I went to school for computer animation, and I got my associate's degree, and I decided, well, I don't know why I did that. I don't even really like art. So I wasted all that money, and I decided to go to work, and I got a job, and I actually kind of really enjoyed it, and I started to work my way up the corporate ladder, and I was doing pretty well. And I had kind of curbed my drinking to a certain point, and I was doing a pretty good job at my life. But then it started to creep back in because I just couldn't maintain that life for a very long time. And the drinking escalated, and so I needed more money to pay for my drinking. So, well, I need a promotion. So that was the answer. So I got the promotion, but the drinking continued even more. Well, I need less responsibility, so I need a promotion because I need to make more money and have less responsibility. And so this kind of continued for a lot of years, and my life started to fall apart really quickly. And basically that happened until I lost that job. And then the downward spiral happened for me. And things got really, really bad. And I started to manipulate everybody in my life. And, you know, I used up everybody that I had. And I just stopped caring. I stopped caring because I thought, you know, I can't make anything of myself. I was a complete failure in my own eyes, you know, because I tried really hard. And I measured success through my career because, you know, in my family it was like pull up your bootstraps. And alcoholism really wasn't something that we talked about. You know, it was like old school Italian in my family. So, you know, if you couldn't do it on your own, then you were just an absolute failure. So I was out of work for a year, and I got really lucky, and I got a job as an executive assistant. And so I thought, this is my chance to do it again. I'm going to do it this time. And a week later, my dad died. And so that was a really, really good excuse to fall back all over again. And, you know, really briefly, the next year I went into a really, really bad spiral until finally one day it was so bad and I was doing a really bad job at this job and I let my life get to a mess again that I decided that dying was better than trying to, you know, make this feeble attempt at life. And I thought to myself, before I do this, I might as well look up a treatment center so I can at least say I tried to do something right before I die. And the rest is history. So I went to a treatment center. I spent 37 days there. And there I learned about Alcoholics Anonymous. And I actually was still had my job. I took a medical leave, and when I came home, I lost my job, which was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because it gave me some time to come here and meet all of these wonderful people. And I started kind of venturing out and going to some meetings, and it was a little bit of a rocky start for me because I didn't have, you know, women friends. What was that? Like, I don't trust you, and you probably don't trust me, because I was just I was a jerk and untrustworthy, and, you know, I did some terrible things in my life. But I started to trust you, and I started to actually make friendships with people, and I started to believe in myself, and I actually got a job really quickly. You know, my higher power, which I call God today, has blessed me in a lot of ways and given me a lot of things that I still don't think that I deserve. But, you know, almost 5 months into it, I have a lot of things that I never thought that I would have, and it's a beautiful thing, and I look forward to every day that I have, and I wake up sober every day. And, you know, five months after I wanted to die, I am happy to wake up in the morning. And, you know, I thank my higher power, and I thank this program, and I thank my sponsor who, you know, even sometimes when I'm really, really resistant to do the work, because it's scary, you know, tells me that it is worth it in the end, and I'm going to get something out of this. I believe her because she has the things that I want. And so do most of the women that I see, that I spend time with. And, you know, thanks for my sobriety, and thanks for letting me speak tonight.